Liberals, as well as members of the GOP establishment, have spent the better part of the last year doubting and attempting to dismiss Donald Trump, saying, among other things, that his momentum wouldn't last. He wouldn't survive the early primaries. You can't overcome the Clinton juggernaut. He's dangerous. And, of course, the latest mantra of how the Trump campaign slogan, Make America Great Again, is code for racism and return to pre-civil rights law days. Despite all that, and with about 2 months before Election Day, Trump leads in the national polls as well as in many of the key swing states. In fact, Trump has a chance to flip states like Pennsylvania back into the GOP column. Now, while a surprise to many, this is no surprise to my next guest, who with her new best-selling book explains why those seeking true effective change need to board the Trump Express. Her book is In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. While being a multiple-time best-selling author, she's also a syndicated columnist, Ann Coulter. Ann, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good to be here.
AnnCoulter.com. Get more info about her many best-selling books and, of course, her column as well. So, obviously, Trump has achieved what 16 other Republicans could not. He has connected with the audience. What was the one or two key functions, acts, capabilities that Trump has demonstrated in being able to do that connection?
Well, it's his issues, all the issues that consultants and professional politicians would never, ever mention, that the public have been begging government to do something about. Illegal immigration, legal immigration, driving down wages, dumping low-wage workers on the country, renegotiating trade deals that have hollowed manufacturing out of America, and maybe a little less meddling in the rest of the world until we've taken care of our own. And whenever you get depressed about all the things the media says about Trump, which are pretty much all lies, except for a few talk radio hosts, Breitbart, my webpage, and that's about it, against the entire world, My book is worth the price of admission just for the geniuses appendix, where I just go through through the primaries and one, you know, skilled pundit and pollster after another sneering and arrogantly asserting that Trump wouldn't make it out of Iowa, wouldn't make it out of New Hampshire. He'll never be the nominee. He's more likely to have a cameo in the next Home Alone, and on and on and on. So they've been telling us that this couldn't happen forever. This is, as I describe in Chapter 3, this is existential for Washington pundits, pollsters, think tanks. Trump did all this without them. In fact, with the entire commentariat, even the alleged conservative network, absolutely dead set opposed against him. $75 million in ads spent against him, and that's not including all of the in-kind advertising with Trump being denounced from every cable news network every moment of every day. But the people are finally responding to someone, or rather, not finally to them. It's finally a politician who's come along and said the things they've been asking for. He's paying attention to the people and not what he's some poll tested consultant written little phrase. I go through. It was striking to me. I watched all the debates at the time, often twice, but to read them later, when you knew that Trump had done well because he kept winning primaries, it's so obvious that Trump is not like any of these other candidates. It really has been a uniparty of the Democrats and the Republicans. And it's a wonderful, refreshing thing to have someone who isn't a politician. He may make mistakes now and then, but he doesn't have this politician's trick of never answering a question. The rest of them figure out a way to restate what the question is, say people are frustrated, and never tell you what they're going to do, which is why it's so weird to keep hearing the media talk about, Trump, no policy specifics. He's the only one giving us policy specifics. He's very clear. He's going to build the wall. He'll deport illegals. He's even giving us the order in which they will be deported, including those, and more than 60% of illegal aliens are collecting government assistance that's meant for our people. That's on the list, in addition to criminals whom Obama says he's deporting, but he isn't. He's frantically fighting the deportation of illegal aliens who have committed rape and murder. We know that Trump will enforce E-Verify. We know that he's going to renegotiate trade deals to bring jobs back to America and force some of these countries eating our lunch to buy our products.
And plus, he doesn't go around looking for warm and fuzzy, similar like thinking like audiences. He goes down to just his recent meeting with the president of Mexico, where the outcome was the Mexican president says, you know what, we have to work on that NAFTA and try to make it better.
Yes, that's actually a great example of, I really would advise your listeners, don't listen to the media. They are pointedly not showing you the candidate himself, because he does have winning proposals and a fantastic and likable personality, which is why you may have noticed the media was absolutely hysterical yesterday and probably will be for another week because of that forum on Wednesday night. Trump was fabulous, answers questions, explains things in a way any normal person understands him. Only the media pretends to be confused. When you have all the commentariat claiming that Matt Lauer was too tough on Hillary, whoa, you know, she got wiped out. And she did, but that's why they won't show you Donald Trump. These speeches, I mean, I'm critical of him when he does something wrong. It happens to be the only time the media notices I exist when I give the slightest constructive criticism to my candidate, Donald Trump. But, you know, we're not cult members. His speeches since, no matter what you've heard, since the convention and including the convention, his speeches have been absolutely magnificent. But they won't show you the speeches. Well, except most recently that immigration speech, which they instantly bury in their own commentary. Oh, it was dark. It was awful. You don't want to see it. You ask for a specific. You couldn't take a paragraph out of that immigration speech that you show it to Americans and not get 90% approval. It's just that the 10% who hated it happened to work in the media. But so you haven't seen it. So I would say to your listeners, don't listen to them. Go watch his speeches. Go, get it from the horse's mouth. Watch him, because you are being lied to. On one, my column this week, I went through just a few of them. The week before, I'd done the outrageous, deliberate lie about Trump mocking a disabled reporter. That is provably false, and it is provable that the media knows it's false, and that it's covering up its own lie. The business about Trump talking about Megyn Kelly's period—it's a lie. Attacking John McCain for having been captured, a lie. Most of this is in my book, In Trump We Trust, but it's just nonstop slander about this candidate. It ought to make you sit back and think, why are all these rich, fancy people who have never shown any interest in the life of an ordinary American, in a steel worker who's lost his job, in all of the outsourced jobs, and Disney workers having to train their foreign replacements, but do show a lot of interest in, you know, Lena Dunham, and whether some woman in New York who deserved to make partner did not make partner. No, that's their interest, and they hate this guy. Even if you ought to give him another look just for that.
Starting with Ann Coulter with her new bestseller, In Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. AnnCoulter.com is a website here on issues and ideas. Well, the GOP few, the big money, the Wall Street, the people behind the doors, they're anti-Trump because Trump has taken the party out of their hands and has placed it before, horrors of horrors, back into the hands of the American people.
Yes, it is, and let's hope the American people reward Trump, because he's the only one who's spoken for them for decades now. I never realized how much I hated my party until Trump came along. Well, now it's my ex-Republican party. I used to think, no, they really do care. We're the ones who care about the working class and the middle class. It's the Democrats who are the party of Hollywood and Wall Street. But Trump comes along and says, we have to do something for our working class. We have to take care of our middle class. And how does the rest of my party, ex-party, respond? Oh, no, we can't. We can't. No, we're writing a blank check to Wall Street. That's the important thing. I mean, both parties, but I never had too much hope for the Democrats, have really been taken over by the donors. It is everything for the very, very rich and nothing for ordinary people.
Well, here's a great shock for the Koch brothers. Guess what? Trump is going to do it without them either.
Yeah, that one, I must say, was a surprise to me. I think some of the plutocrats, by the way, and Boyd, as I explain in the book, Trump is – is fleshing them all out, flushing them all out. We know where they stand now. We know which ones are real friends and which ones are just eating America up like locusts, and they'll move on to the next country when America is gone. But a fair number of the plutocrats are genuine patriots, and they've just been snowed by the consultants all this time. They think the consultants, political consultants in Washington, must be good because they're expensive. Now they're realizing, oh my gosh, this immigration issue is bigger than Mike Murphy ever told us it was. And these trade issues, that's much bigger than anyone ever told us about. Maybe we should stop giving to million-dollar donations to the political consultants. But I did always think, I was surprised with the Koch brothers. I did always think they were patriots led astray by political consultants. Unfortunately, they're not among the plutocrats who have gotten on the Trump train, though many have.
Yeah, this is true, and they're the ones. There are those out there who understand that it's the reason why the document starts out with the words "We the People," not "We the Few." In "Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome," you learn more about the reasons of why Trump is being attacked, the facts about what he says versus the myths. If you want to realize and learn how not to run a campaign, and points out some of the many stumbles of the other 16 in the GOP primary circle. And like Trump or not, I guess you could say one of the things you must admire about Trump, he quite possibly has brought an end to the Bush dynasty.
Yes.
So he's got that going for him at least. So again, it's just a lesson, an introduction, and a path into the truth. If you're on the Trump train, it'll give you the ammo to combat the naysayers. If you're one of those fence sitters, it'll put you into the winner's yard. AnnCoulter.com, in Trump We Trust, E Pluribus Awesome. Ann, thanks as always.
Sure, good to talk to you. Bye-bye, Chris.